afternoon.
It's morning.
Pardon me?
It's morning.
It's still morning, he said.
I thought maybe it was different back there. We're going to get a little belated WOOF update today. I'm going to start off. My name is Jim Smith. I'm the Assistant County Ag Commissioner with a little update on a couple of things related to that. Mr. Patrick Griffin, former Ag Commissioner in Siskiyou County, our current Siskiyou County WOOF liaison, and Mr. Kent Loudon from the California Fish and Wildlife will be providing the bulk of this report. So, two things. The first thing is that...
Mr. Smith?
Yes?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Can you just turn off one of the lights here for the presentation?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
The first thing that I'd like to bring up, especially after the last conversation, is that funding for our WOOF liaison and the project I'm going to talk about is continuing to be supported by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Just want to make sure that's up front. Second thing I'd like to talk about is we have a carcass composting, livestock carcass composting project planned and at the Edgewood, near the Edgewood Airport on county property. Everything's pretty much in place. We were having some trouble getting a California Water Resource Control Board permit, which we have now succeeded in getting. Going forward, having a livestock composting program in Siskiyou County will reduce livestock and WOOF interactions by giving some ranchers the alternative to compost their carcasses on site or at a central location. So that's good news. I thought I'd pass that along. At this point, I'd like to let Mr. Loudon and Mr. Griffin take it over. Thank you very much.
Good morning, I guess.
Still morning until we eat.
I know. Blood sugar is a little low right now, so we'll see how this goes. Next slide. We'll try to give you an update here on California and how Siskiyou County fits into that. Right now, these are the identified wolf packs in California. Last year we had one pack, and that's been the case all previous years, and then all of a sudden this year we have three identified groups. The whaleback pack is new to us in Siskiyou County, brand new pair, did reproduce and had a litter of seven pups this year. Lassen pack has been breeding every year since 2017 and again had a litter of pups this year of five. And then the whale, not whaleback, Beckworth down there in Sierra Valley area. Brand new group of three. I don't know much more about them than that, other than one of them, a female, is a 2019 litter from the Lassen pack. Next slide. And there is a big picture there of the whaleback and what we know of to be their territory, if you can orient yourself on there with Highway 97 running through it on the north and then 89 on the south there. In the corner there, the northwest corner, is important. That is Little Shasta Valley, and that is winter range for the pack. So since the pair last winter, pretty much on private property ranches every single night or most nights. Next slide. So here's just kind of a rundown of those packs. Lassen pack, three plus adults, yearlings, and four pups. Was what I had, but we could be looking at a total of maybe four. Actually, four total is what local folks are telling me right now. I have these flipped. No, I don't. That's about 500 square miles. It's a home range, very large home ranges. Go down to Whaleback. We have two adults. And Patrick, I think we have at least six There it is. Six pups.
At least.
Possibly seven still with us. 480 square miles, so very large. Again, Sierra Pack is not radio collared. Spent a lot of time. Sierra Pack is actually the Beckworth Pack. Spent a lot of time on them this summer. And it was really tough to figure out more on them. Was not able to collar one in there as well. Do not know if they're reproductive. Possibly the reason is because they're not. If they're not reproductive, that would make it more difficult. And as we say, it's hard to prove a negative. Next slide. This is an intentionally busy slide. And the point here is these are the documented wolves that have come into California, whether radio collars or trail cam or genetic DNA. And actually, this slide is behind, since the last one down there is Goose Lake. There are, I think, something like another 3 to 5 wolves now that I could add to that, including the whaleback pair. Next slide. And that's just kind of a picture of those detections in California of the uncollared wolves. Next slide. And that's kind of, I guess, a little bit redundant, but that's what some of those look like with trail cams. Those are some of the trail cam images that we have of some of those uncollared wolves. That one that I saw you pointing at on the screen, that's, for instance, and this is pretty cool, that's from a rancher's trail cam in Little Valley. Next slide. Big picture, again, zooming out, this is the population trends for the Northern Rockies and just kind of how wolf packs or wolf populations can grow. The blue is Northwest Montana. That's wolves coming back on their own from Canada. Much like here in California, where these are dispersing wolves traveling very far distances, in this case from Canada, and you can see there they are growing before. Yellow is Yellowstone, the pinkish one is Central Idaho. The reintroductions to Central Idaho and Yellowstone, and then it's interesting to note at 96 then, all three of those areas have about the same number of wolves. And you would expect Northwest Montana has the advantage because that is a breeding population. Those other two have to, those wolves have to figure it out, find each other, etc. But that's not what happens. Those two populations take off. Northwest Montana continues to bump around, very, very slow population growth. That's when I think I should go back to, I think most folks know, I started my career in 1997 in Idaho. And then went to Northwest Montana in 2004. So you can see there where the population starts to grow rapidly. That is when I was in Northwest Montana, but I swear I had nothing to do with it. Next slide. Those are all of the radio collar wolves, the radio collar data there. So just to go through, you may have read about OR-93 that went all the way down south, highly unusual. OR-44 is the blue one in the northwest there, who is bumping around, I think in 2018 in Siskiyou County. I think blue is the famous OR-7, that light blue there. OR-54 kind of made a mark as well. She's the yellow one there, etc. Next slide. And just slides a little bit outdated here. I haven't caught this one up, but just to show in another way how far wolves go. And in this case, OR-93, he came from northwestern Oregon there. And he is the furthest southernmost wolf known from the, we'll call it all the Northern Rockies population, because that's where they're from. In 2014, there was a female wolf that went to the north rim of the Grand Canyon. But as you should all know by now, very long distance dispersers. Next slide. And then this is just a slide to show kind of what I look like, or I look like, what it looks like to me when I log on to the sites. And that is, should be, I think, OR 103 and OR 85, the breeding male of the whale backpack, and OR 103, of course, is the dispersing wolf that is kind of around a whale back at times, but that's literally what it looks like to me when I get my, when they do download, and then we pass those on to folks locally, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Next slide. And this is a video to make it real on see if it works here. This is the whale back pups. This is our first indication of all seven of them. But it won't play, huh? Well, that's interesting because it's even showing the play button. Quick time not available. Well, there's five more. next slide. And that's a more recent one. This is actually off of Patrick's camera. And this shows, otherwise it won't play either. Oh, that's unfortunate. Six pups there, anyway. I think not all in that one picture. But that's, you can see the date there, I think is November 25th, maybe. And so we know that there's at least six pups as of that date. Next slide. And this probably won't play either. This is the whaleback male, and he, it's just kind of an interesting video where he actually grabs the trail cam and he takes it for a walk in the trail cam. Videos the whole thing. Next slide. Just for interesting point two, this is Wolf LAS-13M. I collared him last year spring. And he dispersed from the last impact and went back to Oregon. So we officially have wolves going both ways now. Some people are in the horse trading business. We're in the wolf trading business, I guess. Next slide. This is a cool slide to show kind of the realities of it. This I should have given credit to this slide. This is Morgan Heim, a professional wildlife photographer. California wolves were in Smithsonian Magazine this last April. This is a picture from that article. If you want to look that up, it's a pretty good article. And this particular morning, it only shows one wolf, but there are seven in that pasture of cattle. And this is a very typical scenario. You can see there what she reported to me, that the wolves barely paid any attention. They paid no attention to the cattle. Mostly the cattle didn't pay any attention to the seven wolves. A couple of them did kind of, some of the cattle were more concerned about the photographer herself. And this is a really classic scenario that plays out all the time. With wolves or in livestock, a lot of times, a lot more than they actually cause problems, but occasionally they do, of course, cause problems. And then occasionally on top of that, they can be a really big problem. But this case exists most of the time, and I think it's just something that most people don't know about. That hopefully is the good news part of it, and there are parts that hopefully we hope to work with to try to use this to reduce conflict. These, by the way, too, this was last year, so 2020, and that pack has been living with those same cattle for 4 years at this point. This is their fourth grazing season with wolves. Next slide. And then just to talk about some of the things, it's classic management tools throughout wolf states in the U.S. are I like to talk prevention, and those are those prevention tools that we have out there. Control, removing problem mold from the landscape, and compensation. In California, we do not have the means, because they are state listed, to remove problem wolves, and there is not yet a compensation program. All that we do have is a little bit of prevention tactics that seem to work a little bit for a little while. And then collaboration. And I'm not sure what the slide is, but maybe this is time for Patrick to talk about that. Communication relationships are always important, but especially I think because we have really limited tools here, it becomes even that much more critical. So let's see what the next slide is to see if... sure.
Patrick Griffin, Siskiyou County Health Liaison. Good to be back. Good to see you all. Location updates. Usually Kent gives me a text every morning and lets me know where the wolves are so I can inform ranchers that may have livestock in the area. I try to be pretty discreet about that. I try to keep the numbers limited, but I don't want to leave people out. So that's a bit of a challenge to know who to include in these text messages. But and if for example, a wolf is on a property owner specifically, and he has cattle or they have cattle in the area, I usually give them a call, follow up, because I don't like to give specific information in the text exactly where the wolf is, because then you get people driving out and want to look and see the wolves and bothering the rancher. So I try to respect the rancher's rights, the property owner's rights, and just give the location, the specific location to the landowner. Challenges, there's always challenges, especially when you get wolves moving through the landscape. You don't know where they're gonna stop. Your data isn't time specific. I mean, you get a point in time, but 12 hours from that point, the wolf could be 20 miles from there or more. So it's hard to really give good, useful information. The things that we're trying to do to avoid wolf livestock conflict is, you know, we talk to ranchers, we let them know the tools that they can use. And I've been impressed so far with how that is received by the ranchers. Most ranchers want to cooperate and help any way they can to reduce wolf livestock conflict. We did have a couple flagellary projects where we put up flagellary to try to keep wolves out of the area, and that seemed to help. Cattle carcasses, that is the big sticker right now, because when you have cattle, you're going to have mortalities. That's just all there is to it. So how do you deal with that carcass? Historically, 20 years ago, we had rendering facilities where we could get rid of carcasses. Those kind of went away. So the ranchers either bury or drag them up into a discreet place and let the scavengers take care of them. That is an attractant for wolves, and it lasts a long time. They don't always go to a fresh carcass. They can hang on an old carcass for a long time. So Jim is working on that. I started that project before I retired on the composting, and we're hopefully going to get it implemented sometime soon. The cooperation, I think we need to mention quite a few people here. I mean, the agency's been really trying to reach out to the ranchers. Our county trappers do a great job facilitating. And the cooperation of the ranchers themselves, it's been really pleasing to me to have acceptance with the ranchers, to be able to go out and talk to them and try to develop a plan to deter wolves from their livestock. So overall, I'm very pleased with the way the ranchers have responded and the agencies. You know, they're all trying to resolve this issue and help reduce wolf livestock conflict. Back to you, Mr. Walton.
I don't know what's next here. Next slide. So there's flagellary. There's something about it for folks that don't know, that wall of flagging is something that freaks wolves out, I guess, so they don't like to cross it. It came over from Eastern Europe. and it's how people used to hunt wolves there. You can form a funnel and have your drivers drive wolves through the funnel with your shooters at the end of it. It's been brought over here for pasture application for wolves. And then at some point in Idaho, it was put onto a hot wire because wolves become habituated to it. So that's an electrified wire there. If they do decide to test it, they can get zapped. And what's also cool about this, this is a ranch on Winter Range for the Lassen Pack. And actually in the foreground there, if you know him, that's Scott Sumner. Scott is working part-time on the Hart Ranch now, and he was interested in what this the Fladry thing was and traveled down there with me on that day to help set it up and learn firsthand. Far off there, that is our attorney from Office of General Counsel for Fishing Game, Fish and Wildlife, and she's the one that works with all the wolf issues. And I thought it was great to get her on the ground too to see what that really looks like and the people that we work with on the ground. Next slide. And there is the man himself, Patrick Griffin, in Little Shasta Valley, putting up Fladry, I think about a month ago. Next slide. And that's Indian Valley again, wolf tracks going down that road along the Fladry.
Is that temporary? Do you put that just for temporary, or is that going to be permanent?
That is a temporary application. The thought is you are not supposed to put it out for any longer than need be because of habituation. Okay. But nobody really knows the answer to that. When does habituation occur? Okay. And then that's the thing too is if when you do put it up and you're supposed to take it down to prevent habituation, and you do believe it works, how do you actually take it down and be okay with that, right? So usually when we put it up, it's for the season. Anyway, winter or summer. Next slide. And then we conduct investigations. CDFW is a lead determiner for the state, but we do co-investigate with wildlife services and the counties that have wildlife services. Here it's the county trappers themselves. We try to get everybody together. The investigations, like I say there, they range from pretty straightforward to difficult to impossible. And no two are alike. One of the things about the when wolves and other predators kill, the next thing that they do is they start to eat the evidence. So we like to get out there as soon as possible. Most of the time it's same day. If we can't, we talk about how those carcasses could be protected to protect the evidence on them. Each predator has kind of their signature ways of that they attack, wolf versus bear versus coyote, for instance. Of course, they can be political for obvious reasons. They can be emotional. I think especially we've had a few of those in Little Shasta Valley where they were injured calves, horribly injured calves, and hard to look at. Let's see, I should have done a tally before this, but I think this is where we're at, and that's why I have the sign there saying approximately 30 confirmed in California since 2017. I think about 10 of those have been in Siskiyou County. About 6 probables, that's where we have some evidence that there is predation, but not enough to tell if it's a wolf. And 4 in Siskiyou, about 4 of those probables I think are in Siskiyou County. Those have been caused by both packs and yearling wolves, that is a typo, that should be dispersing wolves, packs and dispersing wolves. All of those are on the CDFW website, each one of those determinations. Next slide. And that's an old story by now. Next slide. Oh, I see what I'm doing here. So one of the things I always like to make this pitch is wildlife conservation. You can't do it just on public land. And to celebrate the importance of private property and private property landowners and their contribution to wildlife habitat, coexistence, the critters themselves, and open space. And these things come at cost to folks, especially when you get to things like wolves, get a little bit trickier yet. And people in agriculture need support. So what I'd like to talk about is how ranchers provide all of these things that the greater society generally wants and needs, but they're left on their own to do it. And the society, probably without realizing it, is expecting these things of those people. And I'd like to always talk about how we can maybe change the narrative and give those folks support for things that maybe they don't really care for themselves. And we all know how complicated that whole piece is there. And of course, too, to promote the obvious there that's not spoken enough is, of course, ranchers love wildlife too and habitat and open spaces. So, next slide. And this is just, I spend a lot of time with this, is our Polar Society right now is, we're in a really tough place. Wildlife conservation, just to sum up all of that, it falls right in the middle of all that stuff, and so does wolves especially. So as high profile and polar as it is, it has the chance of just being less like the rest of society is right now. And it's really hard to focus on what's real, real factual things, and have good discussions about those versus having debates about people's perceptions of what they think they are. Next slide. And that's one of the things, too, I try to talk about a lot is what I do is natural resource stewardship. I think we all do, right? We should all be stewards of our natural resources. And what I think about, too, with all of this is being a good steward to our society, and it's our society needs that from all of us right now, and our own personal responsibilities in that. Next slide. And what we're doing here, I should go back a little bit, and especially throughout Northern California, but I think Siskiyou County is a really good example about how we're trying to do a really community approach to this whole thing. I think instead of, for instance, the state agency and coming in and talking about how this is going to be and here's all the rules, that we're trying to work all together and open that door. And so, of course, the important contributions of our wolf liaison in Siskiyou County and Jim Smith, and at times, you know, the supervisors too. And then individual ranchers, some are in the audience today. And it's just, we're kind of growing this thing in real time. It's pretty organic, but how do you do that where we all have our pieces of it, especially when we're really limited in the tools that we have? And so just some concepts here. I like to think about the path to deep, long-lasting conservation is through people. That's maybe not just the best way to do it, but it's the only real way to do it. And a rancher, Hillary Anderson in Montana, I love this quote by her, "People do not own what they don't create." Next slide. So I think that is it. So if you guys have any questions, comments, helpful thoughts.
You get it all.
I just add, coming from a livestock background, the hardest thing for a rancher or a farmer is to lose a lamb or a calf or a cow. It actually genuinely is a caring to sort of keep the animal alive. So funding not just for compensation if they're killed, but funding for all things to ensure to keep them alive. It truly is the hardest thing for a rancher. They got a calf that's dying or a cow that can't save them.
Yes, and I think it's important to note, and I'd like to talk about this too, is say there is a group now developing a compensation program for California, and say we're amazing at that. We build the best compensation program ever of all time, and monetarily it makes people whole. it still, because of what you're talking about, does not necessarily cover the whole gap there for folks. And it's important too for folks that don't realize, because I think that's other elements of society, they don't know that because they don't have the chance to know that, is that exactly the case. I like to say everything that they do goes into helping that animal live. And then when that doesn't happen, and those things do happen, but then the next step is they don't themselves have any control about that. So, yeah, point taken.
That's why I see respect. Okay.
Yeah, I think, thanks. And I, thanks for both of you contacting me when there's a wolf coming toward our valley. You know, I appreciate that because the last thing I want to do is be caught in a hardware store and one of my ranchers talking to me about a wolf that's in the valley and I'm scratching my head going, I didn't know. So anyway, I appreciate the good communication.
I will say that, you know, it's, when there's a wolf, it's gets a lot of media.
Yeah, and it tends to get a lot of stories attached to it, too. I'd like to hear from the wolf's mouth here, both of you two.
I will say this, when the first one came in, I remember getting a call from Fish and Wildlife. You know, we like to beat up on government, but they were the ones that called me first, right? And you know, we've come a long way. Former Ag Commissioner Griffith, I thank you for being the liaison. I think, you know, there's always this perception. I know when that first thing came, the sky was falling, the world was critical. You know, it's the death nail to ag. Gratefully, hasn't played out. I think it's just education. I love that. That's why I asked about the Kendry. You know, I think there's more on the preventive side. You don't ever get away in wildlife and where we are with the predation, if you will. So.
Yeah, with that said, still would like to see the state step up and do a compensation program on areas of deprivation livestock.
Yeah, and just to point that out too, the communication part is very, very difficult. You can imagine a guy like me that's not from around here. I don't know anybody. And so it really helps a lot in Siskiyou County. In this case, to exaggerate it, well, Pat knows everybody. And so anytime we have a cluster anywhere, and of course he has a good reputation, and that helps get through that politics a little bit so that we can have trust relationships and talk about things. And but then those dispersing wolves, they're super hard because, you know, a wolf, that at times they can do 50 miles in a day. And it's hard to give people a heads up anytime a wolf does 20 miles. And so we kind of developed out of this, and that was at OR 44 in Siskiyou County a few years ago, that now we do these county notifications to let the community leaders and the agriculture leaders know what's going on. So if those calls do come, then kind of sort of the county kind of sort of knows what's going on. So.
All right. So just real quick, Patrick just got a call to be on the working group. I didn't understand why he hadn't been, and I don't think Kent is on it either, but we'll do what we can to get you there, because you guys have been front and center on this whole issue from the very beginning. And so to me, that working group for compensation should have somebody with feet on the ground somewhere. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So, we're going to go into closed at this point, and I said we'd be back at 1:30, probably 2.
Makes sense. That would be it. You guys are only 5.